A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Religion Today with Martin Tanner, a weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. This program is broadcast each Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. right here on KSL. Also, 9:30 p.m. each Sunday evening. You can find it in podcast form at KSL.com, Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, and in many other places. So if you're new to this program, check out some of the past episodes as well. Today's topic is something that religious people around the world consider. Revelation. What is revelation? Can I receive it? How do I receive it? And if I've had revelation or answers to prayers, maybe another way to say it, how would I know? That's the topic today. Revelation is communication from God. God communicates in a myriad of different ways. People have asked me from time to time, why doesn't God just make it a little more obvious? Why don't I hear a voice? Why isn't there something that's absolutely unquestionable? There are two answers to this. One is faith. God wants us to exercise faith. And the second one is that we are here to make decisions on our own as much as possible. Listen to what God told Joseph Smith on this very subject, now recorded in Doctrine and Covenants section 58, verses 26 through 29. It is not meet that I should command in all things. For he that is compelled in all things is a slothful and not a wise servant, wherefore he receiveth no reward. Men should be anxiously engaged in a good cause and do many things of their own free will and bring to pass much righteousness. For the power is in them. They are agents unto themselves. And inasmuch as men do good, they shall in no wise lose their reward. But he that doeth not anything until he is commanded, and receiveth a commandment with doubtful heart, and keepeth it with slothfulness, the same is damned. Let me restate this. It is not right to ask God to answer every question you have about life, because no one should be told what to do about everything. People who wait to be told by God what to do are lazy, and God will not reward them for that. Of your own free will, you should be excited to help with all kinds of good causes. Everyone has the ability to do this because everyone has talents and is free to choose what they do in their life. But if you don't do anything until you're commanded, or if you wait until God tells you to do something, or if you keep doubting it's from God, or if you are lazy or procrastinate doing what God tells you to do, you are damned because you aren't progressing. You aren't using your physical and intellectual skills with which God has blessed you. Revelation comes through various channels according to the needs and circumstances of individuals, of families, and the church as a whole. Some wonder why answers to prayers, statements of parents and church leaders don't come with obvious labels like, I know this is right from my experience, or this is my opinion, or for sure this is God's statement, or I'm not really sure, but this is my best guess. So why do we have to figure out which one of these, a parent or a church leader or our own thinking or inspiration, is telling us? We have to do our own due diligence to figure out which one of these things is going on. But here are some guidelines that may help you. They've certainly helped me. The first one is that God only reveals to individuals or leaders inspired thoughts, information, wisdom for those who are under their stewardship. For example, you get revelation for yourself, for your family, not for people down the street or somebody you really don't even know. This is one reason why I've never taken much stock in so-called psychics or mediums, because they're giving advice and information to people outside their stewardship. A corollary is that when God reveals his will to the church, he speaks through his prophet. Prophets are the only ones who can receive revelation for the church as a whole. But everyone can receive revelation for themselves and for those under their stewardship. Everyone can receive it. We're often told that we must be good and faithful to receive revelation. I would state it a little different way. Often those who have been unfaithful need guidance and revelation the very most. God doesn't refuse to speak to the unfaithful. In fact, he encourages them to change their ways and ask. Perhaps a better way to state it would be this: God helps people who are trying to do something good. God helps people who need help deciding what is right and good. According to our faithfulness, we can receive revelation to help us with our specific personal needs, responsibilities, and questions. Because we're here on earth to make decisions with a minimum of outside help, we're here to do this on our own, of our own free will. God will generally use the least dramatic or least intrusive method for revelation. Hence, we don't get that audible voice very often. Angels don't often directly come to visit us, but they do when needed. Revelation can come in thousands of forms. For example, a feeling of what's right, an insight or knowledge, a dream, even sometimes angels really do come and visit people. I know personally people to whom this has happened. I mentioned a minute ago, God uses the simplest form needed to accomplish the communication, most often a feeling of what's right. Why? Because otherwise we would look for something great, grandiose, or spectacular when we don't really need it. Those kinds of communications or revelations, the simple ones, the insights, the feelings, in gospel lingo are the whisperings of the Spirit. But first, before you ask, do your own thinking, pondering, research, due diligence, whatever you want to call it. Do your part. Don't be lazy and just pray, God, tell me what to do, without first doing your own part. That's the slothful and lazy servant analogy from the Doctrine and Covenants that we read just a minute ago. Once you've done your part, God will, and I repeat, he will answer your prayers. We are told, ask and it shall be given to you. Not maybe, or might. It shall be given you. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. But in order to receive, we must seek and we must ask. That is a requirement. Stay tuned. More about Revelation. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.
Religion Today with Martin Tanner continues on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. Our topic is Revelation. How to receive it. How do you know if you've received it? And what to do with it once you have gotten it. If you have a question or comment about this program, feel free to send me an email to martinstanner@gmail.com, martinstanner@gmail.com, and I will be happy to respond. And join me for this broadcast, 6:30 a.m. Sundays, 9:30 p.m. Sunday evenings, podcast at ksl.com, where you can also listen to past programs. Also on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, and many other great places where you can find podcasts. Revelation. If you ask, and if you've done your due diligence, and if you genuinely want an answer and need an answer, God will respond. He will. As you ask, here's a suggestion. Don't do it casually. Love and respect God as you ask. This is another way of saying, be reverent as you ask. Even when you're in the most unlikely place, if you need it, God will answer your prayers. I personally can say that I've had prayers answered in feelings, in dreams, in insights, in things I've read, particularly scriptures, but other places as well. In comments from others, from leaders, even while driving a car, in an elevator, and while walking and swimming. I swim a lot. God has never told us you can pray in every place or circumstances except. That's just not the way it works. If you need revelation, no matter where you are, if you need it, if you genuinely need an answer, God will communicate it to you. Asking should show some level of humility. Why? Because we should be asking for something beyond our own capacity to know. If you already know something, you don't need to ask. If you're asking for something that's beyond you, you are in a humble spot by definition. One where we are incapable on our own of finding the answer. That's a place where we are dependent upon God. And in that context, humility is the essence of the place where we find ourselves. Do what's right. That will enhance your ability to have some kind of revelation from God. If you've been doing bad things, wrong things, tell God why you want to move in a better direction. This is the essence of being worthy. It is not true that you have to have been really good or perfect to get the answer to a prayer. Worthiness, in essence, means that you want to be better, not that somehow you are at some level of goodness or perfection. Some believe if you aren't pure, good enough, God's not going to answer prayers. I do not believe that. I believe that even people who have made the most horrible of mistakes or errors in judgment, even deliberate wrongs, are the very ones that God hopes will call on him for help, along with the rest of us, as they genuinely try to move in a better direction in their life. Now, if you know God's commandments, keep them. Work to keep them. But if you stumble and fall, as we often do, resolve to do better. If you're a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints or some other church that has the sacrament, partake of it worthily. The sacrament prayers teach people how to receive constant companionship from the Holy Ghost. In Doctrine and Covenants section 20, verses 77 and 79, we read in those prayers how our Father in heaven promises that when we take the sacrament worthily, that God will give his Spirit to be with us. A great place for inspiration, because of their goodness, is the scriptures that we have. Study them, ponder them, consider them. Take time to think about your question, about your issue. When you do that, the truths of the gospel and of the answers to the questions in your life will be opened to your mind. If you ponder, which means to think deeply, with research and study, it will bring you closer to the Spirit. I never would have thought when I was in high school that studying and the Spirit were tied, but they certainly, most certainly are. When seeking guidance, we should study things out very, very carefully. This is exemplified from Doctrine and Covenants, section 9, verses 7, 8, and 9. Quote, "You have not understood. You have supposed that I would give it to you when you took no thought save it was to ask me. You must study it out in your mind. Then you must ask me if it be right. And if it is right, I will cause that your bosom shall burn within you. Therefore, you shall feel that it is right. But if it be not right, you shall have no such feelings. You shall have a stupor of thought that shall cause you to forget the thing which is wrong." I'm going to paraphrase this again, because sometimes it makes you think about these verses in a little bit different way. Paraphrased, you haven't understood. You thought you'd get revelation and answers to prayers just for the asking, without any effort on your part. That's not right. You have to study it out in your mind. Really think about it. Only then are you ready to ask God if it's right. If it is right, then God will let you know with a feeling or a thought so that you will feel that it is right. If what you're asking isn't right, you won't have the feeling it's right. Instead, if it's really important, you're going to have to think about it over and over and over again until you have the right answer instead of the wrong one. Be patient. Patiently seek God's will. God reveals himself in his own time, in his own way, according to his own will. Doctrine and Covenants, section 88, verses 63 through 88. Often, we're not ready for the answer. We are learning line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. We don't know everything all at once. Even if you're serious and have pondered and thought, and you've never had a math course in your life, you're not going to pray for calculus in a day and get it. It's not going to happen. You have to put in the time and the effort. Recognizing the promptings of God. This is a fascinating subject. Amid all the many noises and distractions of the world today, one of the most important points is that we need to be able to recognize when God actually talks to us. He speaks to our mind, as I mentioned before, in the least obtrusive way possible to make the point. The Holy Ghost is often something that gives you great comfort. That's why he's called the Comforter. In John chapter 14, verse 26, and in Doctrine and Covenants 39, verse 6, we're told that as God reveals things to us and answers to prayers, he speaks peace to our minds. Why would God call the Holy Ghost the Comforter? because knowing what's true, having the answer to prayers gives us comfort. Getting the wisdom or knowledge or direction of how to come beyond a problem or to overcome adversity gives great comfort. Comforter is the perfect name for the Holy Ghost. Join me again next week. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.